zines are growing in popularity as people seek out alternatives to digital spaces and their devices. Zines are tangible media we can hold in our hands.
For two UW-Madison graduate students, creating a zine together opened up possibilities to think about self-care through the framework of disability justice.
And with the help of a special publisher, they created a tactile version of the zine for blind readers that includes Braille and other textures to tell the story through touch.
Emily Knott is an artist, educator, and doctoral candidate in curriculum and instruction, and Miso Kwok is a doctoral candidate in special education. Their new zine is called Crip Wisdoms, a feminist disability studies coloring book, and they joined us recently in studio to talk about navigating the world with disabilities and their collaboration. Em begins by explaining how this project came into focus.
Well, the project started in a UW-Madison course. It was Dr. Sammy Schalk's Feminist Disability Studies course. And when we read the book, Kemi Nishida's book, Just Care, I immediately, as an artist scholar, saw images in my mind of what that page represented. So instead of bringing in my assigned one-pager for the class discussion, I brought in a coloring page. And thankfully, Dr. Schalk didn't say, you get an F because you were supposed to bring in a one-pager. She said, this is beautiful. You should keep doing it. You should make this thing a thing. You should finish it. You should make this book. And I almost immediately called Miso, a friend, co-conspirator, collaborator, and was like, do you want to do this thing with me? And thank goodness she said yes.
Miso, what piqued your interest about this project?
Oh, I think, first of all, just working with Emily always is a joy. So I was really excited that Em reached out to me. And yeah, it was just a lot of things kind of aligning really well. And I'm really grateful to have been part of this project and working together for this very meaningful and wonderful experience.
There's this long history behind the term Crip, which can be viewed as an offensive term. It could also be empowering within some disability circles. And you decide to use it in the title of the book. What does that word mean to you?
Absolutely. So we join many disability justice activists and scholars in reclaiming the term Crip, which has long been used to talk down to disability communities and instead reclaim it as a term of power and identity. And we also use a plural wisdoms to acknowledge that there's many ways of knowing and being in disability experience. And so that's how we came to the title of Crip Wisdoms.
Yeah, as somebody who studies disability identity and someone just personally outside of my academic studies who has grappled and continues to grapple with my own identity as a disabled person and disabled scholar and what that means, I think reclaiming Crip is a way for me to not only signify my pride and my solidarity with the community, but also invitation to others to rethink what this term means and, yeah, just kind of uplifting this term that has been historicized in a negative way into something that is powerful and that carries nuanced meanings.
Let's stay on the front cover here. There's also this row of illustrated spoons with different shapes and different designs. Can you talk about the spoon theory and how this concept helped you in your own life and why it's on the cover?
Sure. And I'll shout out Christine Miserandino, whose 2013 blog post was the first place where spoon theory was coined. But spoons, this quote is from Leah Lakshmi Pyepsna Samarasinha. She says, spoons is slang created by sick and disabled communities to describe units of energy and capacity, specifically within a sick and disabled context of having a limited amount of energy because of chronic illness or disability. And so when I put it on the cover, it was really thinking about ways in, because I felt like the ideas I encountered in feminist disability studies have helped me make sense of my own life and experiences. Particularly, I've had chronic migraines since I was 7 years old. And so having ideas at my fingertips like spoons and like bed activism were ways to not fold those experiences in on myself and hide them and feel shame about them, but instead enfold them into my identity and think about what they looked like and how I lived them every day. And so putting spoons on the cover was a way to say, everyone knows what a spoon is. You can hold it in your hand. It's something approachable. It's something you can look at and think about. And instead of having these ideas live kind of siloed, maybe in academic spaces, really making sure that a zine that's something anyone can look at and understand and read through and color and engage with, it was a way to give people almost an on-ramp into these ideas that, for me and for so many other people, have been really life-giving and life-affirming and have been an important part of our experiences and ourselves.
I wonder, Miso, when you are finding yourself out of spoons in any given day, do you have any tips or ways that you self-care? Or what happens when you're out of spoons?
Yeah, I think I'm actually a terrible person to give that answer because I am, you know, a very type A person who's, you know, pursuing a PhD, and that basically means that I've kind of conformed to this fast-paced, productive ideals, right? And so I think as I've kind of immersed myself in disability studies and just coming to know myself, I think I've been really trying to be better about that, what it means to care about myself and other, so one, I think, is to know, like, when to take a break and actually take the break and carving out time for things like going outside for a walk or intentionally cooking something. So I think it is really challenging, but I'm constantly trying to do better and also encouraging my friends to take a day off when they need to take an afternoon off. Because most of the times I'm like really reiterating it to myself that a little bit of postponement doesn't really end up being the end of the world. And I think I just need to constantly remind myself and also others so that I can kind of start this culture of slowing down.
In the grand scheme of things,
yes,
it will all be the same in the end in some respects. And you know, these spoons aren't just decorative. They're also dotted lines around them. You can cut them out. Your readers can cut them out. Why was it important to make them this way and not just, you know, a text-based book, but an interactive zine?
So we really wanted this to be more than a coloring book. We, on each page, include not only the sources and citations and invitations to read more of the people that we're thinking with and quoting and citing, but also different ways in. So for the spoons page, you can cut out a spoon and write on it something you need and hand it to someone. Oh. Or you could write something that you have to offer and hand it to someone. There's pages near the end of the book where we actually ask people to draw and envision their own radical possibilities for disability justice and what they see in the future. So it's a lot more than a coloring book.
I think I saw somewhere that, you know, there's never a dead end in this book, that there's always more possibilities for you to engage or to think or to reflect or color or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One of my favorite parts of this book has been seeing it under other people's hands and hearts and eyes and minds and bodies and seeing how it transforms and how it gets used, you know, getting messages from around the country of pages that have been colored or interacted with in people's classrooms and just seeing it come to life with other people.
We're talking about a new disability justice coloring book. It's called Crip Wisdoms, and it was created by two doctoral candidates at UW-Madison. M. Knott and Miso Kwok are with us in the studio to talk about their collaboration on this project, which blends art and disability justice. Miso, there are image descriptions throughout the book, and usually at this detailed paragraph describing what is shown on the previous page. How important are these image descriptions for you in your everyday life?
Very important is my short answer. So for listeners, who are kind of curious why this conversation is coming up. So I'm a blind person, and I cannot see any images, but we live in such a world that is very heavily driven by lots of different images, whether you are opening your phone to Instagram or whether you are kind of checking out a map. Some of my blind friends and I will kind of coin this term, like use this term of sighted world. So as a blind person living in the sighted world, I acknowledge and embrace the importance of images. And in fact, having been raised by a mathematics educator, I think I think a lot in images as well, you know, for example, if I'm trying to understand a path from point A to point B, I'm kind of mentally imaging that path. So image is actually a really important part of my life as well. But obviously, kind of access to tactile image is very few and far, unfortunately. So text is a good way for me and many blind folks to understand what image is drawn or what image is being projected. And knowing that M is the visual artist and it was going to be about a coloring book, and I think it was really important for me to say I think we should include image descriptions and not just kind of the basic, like something like person is just like lying down on the sand and like moon is on the background. And it's kind of, like intellectual ideas, but making sure that these ideas are as widely understood as possible. So I think just that work of reviewing and writing image descriptions together was something that I cherish.
And that particular description is so vivid. And like it said, like femme, fat person on beach on their side and conch shell as large as that. You know, I really love that aspect of it, Em, that these aren't just these aren't basic descriptions. They really paint a picture in your head.
And I think MISO really manifested that and made that true. We did so much work together iteratively because we were coming up with these images together. And so MISO would say, well, it looks like this. And I would say, okay, here's the thumbnail sketch. And she, no, it's this is over here. And what if it has this? So it was very much like this reflexive process of developing images and descriptions together that, and MISO, I love that you used the word cherish. I just smiled really big because I cherished that process too. It was really a beautiful process to engage in.
MISO, you brought about, you brought this tactile version of the book. And I'm wondering, can you tell us more about the features it includes?
Yeah. So kind of going back to the conversation around image, there is a technology educator who's also a blind person that I follow on the internet. Her name is Chansey Fleet. She coined this term image poverty to talk about how blind people are often deprived from exposure to image. And I really liked that term image poverty because I think it aptly captures this experience many blind folks have. And kind of thinking about this coloring book, first of all, like selfishly, I was thinking, okay, if this is a coloring book and if I'm part of this and if I can't color in the book because I don't know where to color, like that would be kind of, I would feel like I'm missing out.
You're missing out on it, yeah.
So that was kind of the selfish reason. But I really think that to engage in this idea of multiple ways of knowing and multiple identities being represented, I think it was really important for us to think about how to make this book as inclusive and as accessible as possible. And we are so grateful that we were able to connect with Clover Nook Printing House that really ran with this idea of, let's make these drawings into tactile images. it's really costly, both on the financial and then time-wise, to kind of produce graphics like this, and especially hand-drawn works like what M practices as an artist. So we are really grateful for their collaboration. And I think my hope is that having tactile books available will invite not only blind folks, but everybody to have a chance at engaging with images in a different way and in a more interactive way.
Well, Em and Miso, thank you so much for sharing this project with us.
Thank you so much
for having us.
That was Emily Knott and Miso Kwok. They are graduate students in education programs at UW-Madison, and we've been talking about their new coloring and activity zine called Crip Wisdoms. A Braille and tactile version of the zine is available through the publisher Clover Nook Press, and 100% of Miso and Em's profits from the book are going to Disability Visibility Project.